almost anything. What you won't do for your children or grandchildren. Margaret and I have a significant amount of money in our budget to go and visit our kids and grandkids and to buy them special gifts. Now, I know there's some grandparents around here and parents who do exactly the same thing. What we won't do for someone we love, the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. See, that statement identifies the reality of God's love for all mankind, for all humankind. God loves, and he gave his one and only son. The Bible then tells us that we are to love in the same way. We are to love as well. We are to love all humankind. That's what God tells us. Now, the Bible tells us that there is a special and deeper love that God has for those who love him. That truth is easy for us to understand, isn't it? You know, I have a different love for my children and grandchildren than I do for my neighbor. Is that true of you? I imagine it's true of you. Are you honest enough to say it? Well, I'm honest enough to say that that's true. In the course of my lifetime, I've had many parents share with me the sad reality that there have been children that have left their home never to return, never to make a phone call, and these parents are deeply distraught. The love of that parent is still deep and full for that child. And the thing that is so difficult is that they don't have the opportunity to return that love. The Bible talks about that reality in relationship to God and us. And David talks about that reality in this Psalm 103. The reality that, in fact, when we love God back, when we come into his presence, he has the ability and opportunity to throw his love on top of us. But when we don't come, well, God still is there and he still loves us, just like that parent whose child has left home and never returned. But there's a difference. There's a difference. And as we look at this Psalm 103, as we hear what David is saying about God's love, I think we're going to get that. One of the realities is that we cannot earn God's love. However, it moves the heart of God just as much as it moves our hearts when our children reach out to us in love, or when someone else reaches out to us in love. This morning, Cousin John walked in and he had a bag he was carrying. And he says to me, he says, "Where's Margaret? I have some stuff for her." You've had that happen to you, haven't you? There's been someone who's done something for you that you were not expecting, but a kindness, a gift of love. That makes us feel good. And guess what? It makes us want to return that love in ways that maybe we wouldn't have otherwise. We cannot earn God's love, but God loves us still. So this message from David and the message of the Bible is this. It's this message of thanksgiving. It's this message. Tell God and the world about how God loves you and how much you are thankful and love God back. Okay, I'm going to read that again. Tell God and the world about how God loves you and how much you are thankful and love God back. So there are four four items here that I want to highlight this morning. First of all, we need to tell God how thankful we are. You know, several of you stood and expressed your thankfulness to God for a variety of things. Others of you didn't. However, I know you have those thankfulness, that thankfulness in your heart. As our Sunday school class talked this morning about how we do that or why we should do that, it was difficult for the kids to really identify what it meant to tell God I'm thankful. Now, for those of us who are older, who've been Christians all of our lives, we've practiced that, haven't we? We often tell God that we're thankful. At this season, and with David's Psalm 103, he reminds us of the fact that we need to tell God how thankful we are for who he is as our God and the one who loves us. So praise God. Give thanks all the time. Be always giving thanks, always praising God. Think of ways that you can do that. And this is just an expression to God. Because next, we come to this reality that David identifies for us. Tell the world about how God loves you. Tell the world about how God loves you. This is what David's doing in this psalm. David is telling us and the world how God loves him. And I'm just going to walk through the things that he says about how God loves him. David says, God forgives me. And we know David's story, don't we? We know his sin with Bathsheba, his killing of Bathsheba's husband as a result of his own sin. He doubled up his sin, and God forgave him. And David says, thank you, God, for your forgiveness. David says, thank you, God, for healing me. And when we talk about healing, there's physical healing that comes. There's also spiritual and emotional healing that comes in our lives. David realized with God's forgiveness a spiritual healing as well then as an emotional healing. An emotional healing for which God came to him and God touched him. And then David says, thank you for the way that you redeemed my life. David sinned. God didn't throw him out the door. God redeemed him. God took what was bad. He forgave it, and he redeemed David's life. He didn't cut him off from being king, but he actually made his role as king something better. David says to the world, God loves me. God loves me. Have you said that to someone lately? Have you given testimony to the world that I know that God loves me? I know that God loves me. In a little while, we're going to talk a little more about that. David says, God satisfies my desires. Contentment is something that comes when we know and have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and we understand what God has for us. Contentment then puts us in a position to have our desires satisfied. I have lots of desires. God's blessed me. God satisfies my desires. I think that I can honestly say that there are no desires that I have that God has not satisfied, that God has not provided. There are things maybe still out there that I might like, but I'm okay. It's not something that I'm going to fight for. It's not something I'm going to chase after. It's something that if God gives me, I'm going to say thank you. David says, God is a God of compassion. In our Sunday school class, as we talked about this, the kids weren't sure that they could give a definition of compassion. So I said, okay, go on your phone and bring up a definition of compassion. So they did that. And we discovered what compassion is. It's caring for or helping someone who's in need. Helping someone who is not doing well. That's compassion. When we go to them and we help them, our God is a God of compassion. You know, there's so many times in our lives when we find ourselves in places of sadness and sorrow. You know, I think of Lyle's testimony again this morning of this cousin or relative who had compassion and wrote that $10,000 check. And the reality was, from what Lyle said, this cousin or relative had no idea, but God was saying, do this. And he did it. And that was a compassion that touched Lyle and Molly's life at a time when they needed it. And then the reality of returning that is significant as well. But God has compassion on us. And God sends people in our lives to show us that compassion. And at times God touches us, you know, outside of the realm of other people with an understanding of his compassion. And then David says, thank God for the fact that God's slow to anger. I'm not very slow to anger sometimes. It comes pretty quickly. I am thankful, David was thankful, that God is slow to anger. And then David says, thank the Lord that he doesn't treat me as I deserve. And as we think about David's life, you know, as we think about our own penal system, what David did should have received very severe and strict punishment from the justice system at his time, as well as from God. How many times do my actions deserve God's punishment, and yet he withholds that, or he teaches me something out of those moments that I need to learn? So tell the world about how God loves you. Why don't you individually make a list of the ways in which you have seen God showing his love to you? You know, the list may be like David's. Probably it's different than David's in many ways. But make a list that then you can possibly take something off that list and share it with someone else. Tell the world how God loves you. Then number three, tell the world how thankful you are for God's love. Wow. Thankful, thankful. Thankful for God's love. Goodness. Love. Love is something that's hard to define in our world. It's something in which the definition has been so skewed by the reality of our world and our experience that we really, it's hard for us to get hold of the depth of what love means. But my own experience is one in which I am so thankful. And I feel like, I think maybe the best word to use is acceptance. Or in our Sunday school class, the word worthy was given. The feeling of being worthy of God's love. Acceptance in a way that I'm accepted, and God shows me that by loving me. And when I feel accepted, wow, it makes a huge difference in how I look at life. Because there are many people who don't accept my ideas, my thoughts, my faith, etc. But God loves me and I am thankful. Number four, finally this. Show the world that you love God. Show the world that you love God. How do we do that? Well, by being here today. This is a demonstration. It's a visual of the fact that you love God. So, we're however many we are here today in this place. If we were to walk down our street and knock on doors, it wouldn't take too many houses till we realized the number of people that are here. How many in our world don't love God? How many in the world haven't seen someone who loves God? We need to not only tell God and tell the world, but we need to show it. Show it as we are part of a church family. That's one of the ways of showing that. Show it as we study the scriptures, as we study the Bible. Show it. Now, how does the world see that? One of the things I suggested to the kids this morning, they're all the time on their phones. They're on their phones now. Yeah. And I mean to embarrass you. No, I'm not going to embarrass you. You're embarrassed. And there may be some of you on your phones now. One of the ways that we can show our world in this culture and time, oh, you're on your phone? What are you doing on your phone? Oh, well, I'm reading the Daily Bread. Or, oh, I'm checking out what God says about. Or, oh, I'm talking to a friend who needs to be encouraged. And I'm doing that because I think God wants me to do that. The phone is a wonderful way. And we think about showing. One of the things that Margaret and I do when we go out for meals, we pray together. We don't stand up and say, okay, everybody stop, we're going to pray. But we hold hands and we pray. It's a means of showing the world that we love our God. We show the world that we love God by the way we treat each other. Randall going to help Lyle with harvest yesterday is a visible means of showing the world that God loves Randall, and Randall loves because of God's love. It's a means of showing the world that I love God. One of the other ways is when we respect and give honor to those around us. Now, there are lots of people who don't think the way that I think. There are lots of people, lots of you out there, who think a bit differently than I do. When we show respect to each other and honor to each other and give love to each other, that's a demonstration to the world of God's love and my love for God. Because the world doesn't do that. The world puts people in boxes, and if you're not in my box, you know, I'm going to sling eggs at you or other things. So one of the ways that we show the world that we love God is by how we respect each other. As we celebrate Thanksgiving, let's shout out to the world the reality that God loves us and we love God. Finally, come to Romans chapter 8. Paul's comments that I love and I need to hear over and over again. Paul says, "No, in all things we are more than conquerors." How are we more than conquerors? Through him who loves us. Boy, that's what's helped me through life. I have not always felt good about myself, but God feels good about me, and God loves me. And then Paul goes on and he says this, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that promise that in no way I can be separated from your love. I need that. And I'm thankful for that. Okay. I have an assignment for you. Or two, actually. All right? This week, I'd like each of us to tell at least one person about how God loves me. Okay? So the first one, find somebody, tell them about how God loves you. Number two, tell at least one person how thankful you are for God's love of you. So those two things. It's not a big deal, only one person. It's a little like our grandson Tyler when they moved from California to Pennsylvania. Tyler's a junior in high school. He's left friends back in California. He comes into a new school, and he decides he's going to run cross country. He goes to the first cross country practice, knows nobody. And you know what happens when you don't know anybody, right? Nobody knows you. You don't know any of them. And so there's this, yep, nothing happens. He goes home to his dad, and he says, I think I'm going to quit cross country. Yeah, I don't have any friends there. And so Bob says to him, okay, Tyler, this is what I want you to do. Tomorrow when you go to cross country, I want you to talk to two people. Tyler says, what do I say? Bob says, well, ask them their name, tell them your name, and then find out something about them. Very simple. Tyler's a senior this year. He went to regionals in cross country, and he got his personal best, celebrating. And guess what? All those guys that he's been running cross country with are now his best buds. How does that happen? It happens when we step out of our comfort zone and we talk to the people around us. Share with people your love of God. Share with people how much you have experienced God's love of you. And guess what? Maybe not tomorrow, but maybe next year, you're going to have some friends that you didn't have before just because you were willing to step out of your comfort zone. Remember, we don't and can't earn the love of God. But there's a deeper and fuller reality of love in our lives when we come back and say, thank you, God, I love you too. We're going to sing this hymn, another one of my favorites, and I have many, don't I? Stand with me as we sing, The Love of God.